This is your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN. The wake-up call is supported by Tiger Fuel, homegrown since 1982. You can visit Charlottesville's only locally owned and operated chain of convenience stores today. They operate on Main Street, not Wall Street. Now your host, Rick Moore.
And that would be me. Thank you so much for tuning in to WNRN Community Independent Radio and 1 hour of chat every week. Our guest today here on the Wake Up Call, Robin Jackson. Good morning, Robin.
Hi, Rick. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you. I've looked forward to it.
Your politeness is appreciated.
That's good.
Robin is the owner, director of Charlottesville's Civility School.
That's right.
We're going to be talking about manners and etiquette and what being civil means in a variety of different ways. I'm excited about this. For some people, the conversation with friends and is civility? What is that? Manners? Does that really matter anymore? In certainly a lesser way than it might have in the past. So I find this to be intriguing, and I'm excited to have you here for the hour to talk about it. Again, Robin Jackson, she's the owner and director of the Civility School here in Charlottesville. You know, one of the first things I want to do, Robin, is when we were chatting before about you coming onto the program, you were telling me, oh, you know what? Here's an interesting story that goes along with this. Can you tell us an interesting story that sort of where a particular mannerism or piece of etiquette came from?
Sure. You know, a lot of people think that rules of etiquette, good manners, just kind of happens, that somebody makes these up and then we're expected to follow them. And actually, most rules of etiquette have historical background. Most of them have practical reasons that they came into being. So one of the stories that the boys, especially in the classes that I teach, love is about a dinner knife. When you rest your dinner knife on your plate, the sharp part, the blade, should point in toward you, not toward the other people. In the Middle Ages, if you sat down with your knife, which didn't really look anything at all like the dinner knife we use, and the sharp part pointed out, it was a challenge. It was a challenge to everybody at the table. It was seen as a challenge to a duel, as a challenge, which often ended up in a bloody kind of a battle at the dinner table. So you can see why, over many years, people got very used to making sure that the blade on the knife pointed in, not out.
An hour full of these, as
yes.
Well as things that, I'm sitting here, you're telling me this story, and I'm thinking, oh, well, that's kind of cool. I had no idea. I always thought I grew up in a family where manners were appropriate, and I still say yes, ma'am, and yes, sir, to people, whether they're near my age or seniors to me. And some people get upset by that, and I had a guest on here a couple weeks ago who said yes, sir, to me, and I recognized why, but I said, all right, let's stop that. I'm not going to listen to that for an hour.
Yeah, I mean, that whole idea of using sir and ma'am is one example of a cultural manner. It's something that here in Charlottesville and many parts of Virginia, we love to hear. A lot of parents teach their children that saying yes, sir, and yes, ma'am is an important part of being a respectful, deferential child. And you travel to other parts of the country, and people really don't want to hear that. They actually see it as being a little obsequious and making the child look just obsequious and kind of over
obsequious.
The top.
Let's,
like a little.
Watch the jar. This is a class 101.
A little too goody two-shoe. How about that?
All right.
Yeah. So you have to be careful with things like that. When I work with children, I a lot of times will talk with the parents and say, you know, what do you expect your children to call you? And what do you expect your children to call your friends? Because in some parts of the country, in the South, for example, a lot of people will call adults in their lives Miss So-and-so. You would be maybe Mr. Rick. I might be Miss Robin. In the North, that might be really seen as kind of silly and not a good practice. So lots of rules of etiquette, lots of what we consider to be good manners, are dependent upon where people are.
You know, you're telling that story, and I'm thinking in my head, yes, that's how I was taught to do this. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Hi, Mr. Ronnie. How are you? And that's, so I'm assuming that you were born and raised in the South somewhere.
Yeah. Well, I was born and reared 2 hours north of here in Charlottesville, up in Winchester, Virginia. And it was pretty Southern and very traditional. And I didn't personally use Miss So-and-so or Mr. So-and-so. I used people's last names. And I still feel like that's always a safe way to go. I think it's safe for children to always say Mr. or Mrs. whomever, and use that, kind of start off there.
Right. And then the adult can say, oh, you know what? You can call me Rick. Mr. Rick is fine.
Well, and then you even have to be careful with that, because many parents don't want their children calling an adult by their first name. So I sometimes advise parents or children to, or people, before they tell other people's children to call them so-and-so, it's nice to check with your friends and see what they want their children to call their friends.
11:07 on the Wake Up Call. We're going to be talking about etiquette, manners, being civil with Robin Jackson. She's the director at the Civility School here in Charlottesville. Robin, why do, or Ms. Jackson, which
you may call
today?
Me Robin.
Robin, what is, have we lost a lot of our manners from decades ago, or are the manners just different?
I think we've chosen to do away with some forms of etiquette. I think we decided at some point that it was really important to build our children's sense of self, their self-esteem, and that in order to do that, we needed to get rid of some of the forms of deference that we used to use. I think what we're finding is that we didn't so much build their self-esteem as we did build a sense of narcissism, which is not really comfortable for children. Children need to know that there are some limits and that there are, that there are people to whom you need to be deferential. And then there are situations in which it is important to be deferential. Because if you take that away, children feel kind of lost. I think they need to feel that there are limits. So I think we decided that we were going to do away with some rules of etiquette. I think we might have other new rules, too. But regardless, learning to be deferential and learning to be kind to others, I think, are two parts of our civilization which should not go away.
But has it gone away in a minute or more global fashion?
Well, I don't know about global. I would say in the U.S., I think we have seen a huge decline in that, in civility, in thinking about others, dealing with rudeness in an appropriate way, not feeling obligated to call attention to every small inequity in our lives. So, yeah, I think I don't know that it is global, but I do feel like in the U.S. we've made some decisions that maybe aren't good.
What's the difference, or is there a difference between manners, etiquette, civility?
Well, there is. One of the reasons I called my school the Civility School, as opposed to Miss Robin's School of Manners or Mrs. Jackson's School of Etiquette, is that I think civility is a broader term. I think civility takes into account things other than just learning rote rules of etiquette. Just learning rote, memorized rules of etiquette are not going to help you in a global society. They're not even going to help you, quite frankly, in your own family. You do treat certain people in certain ways. Certain people need to be treated in different ways. So you need to keep your eyes open. You need to develop skills of empathy. And you need to learn that, you know, the word civility comes from civilization. And it means giving to society as well as taking from society. So it is a more, it's a bigger issue than just learning rules of etiquette.
Let's talk about some of the places, and we can get a little more in depth as we go through the hour, where manners may be, or if you feel that they are more important in some situations or locations than they are in others. My friend Rusty Zimpre hands me a little note saying, manners and respect are crucial in a courtroom. Now, I don't know why Rusty has all this knowledge about being in the courtroom.
Seeing the judge's decision change.
Yeah, the judge's decision. There you go. The judge's decision, often plays a role into whether or not that person is respectful enough to dress appropriately. We have grooming in here a little bit later on.
Yeah.
There's business meetings, the school, et cetera. Are there places where it's important and at home maybe not?
Oh, no, I think it's important everywhere. I think, showing people good manners, acknowledging other people is what we do when we show respect to people. Not acknowledging the existence of other people is really the largest form of disrespect. So whether we're in our family, whether we're in a classroom, wherever we are, if we don't acknowledge people, if we don't say good morning when we get up in the morning and see our family, if we don't say good night before we go to bed, if we don't say hello, Mrs. whomever the teacher is when we enter the classroom, little things like that are important, and it doesn't matter where you are. Now, of course, you're going to be more relaxed at home. It should be a refuge, but good manners are important no matter where you are. And when I say good manners, I really do truly mean acknowledging the existence of other people in your sphere.
Is that what you would refer to as is that the base of the pyramid, the foundation on which your manners and etiquette need to be structured?
Yeah. Acknowledgement of others. Just simply showing respect to others. And that's where learning good social skills, again, not just memorizing rules of etiquette, but learning how to acknowledge others. Basic things like eye contact or leaning forward when you're talking with someone and not crossing your arms. Just ways that we show that we are acknowledging the existence of others. That's where it all starts. And without that, all the yes, ma'am, and no, sir in the world is not going to make you a likable person.
What is the difference between acknowledgement and deference? Because there seems to be, for many people or a notable number of people, good manners or etiquette is showing deference to someone that you don't feel deserves that, or you want them to earn it rather than you just give it.
Ah, well, there's a difference between respect and deference. So one of the examples I'll use with students is if you were a prison guard in a prison and you had a particularly awful criminal who had done some really awful things, would you still need to respect that person? And oftentimes students will say, no, there's no need for me to respect that person. Well, I don't believe that's true. I think you need to respect everyone. You need to show respect. Deference is different. Deference is special respect that you pay to someone who, in my estimation, has earned that. People who are older than you, your parents, your grandparents, elected officials, regardless of how you feel about their politics, people who are your bosses, people who have power over you in an employment situation. You may not always agree with them, but as long as they're not being abusive, of course, that's a completely different situation. But as long as they are behaving in a normal fashion, whether you agree with them or not, you need to show them deference.
11:15 here on the Wake Up Call. Our guest today is Robin Jackson. She's the leader, the owner, the person showing and teaching others in Charlottesville area how to be civil from the Civility School. We'll be right back. We'll take calls and questions or comments today as long as you are showing respect and proper etiquette when dialing up. 979-0919. That's 434-979-0919.
WNRN is supported by the Bud Light Concert Series at the Intellos Wireless Pavilion, presenting Joan Baez and Indigo Girls on Tuesday, June 11th. Grammy Lifetime Achievement Award winner Joan Baez joins with Grammy-winning folk rock duo Indigo Girls for an evening of music. Tickets are at theintelloswirelesspavilion.com.
And support for WNRN Today coming from TNN Printing, serving Virginia since 1982. In addition to printing and copying, TNN specializes in construction document management, as well as dry mounting, binding, and mail services. TNN offers FSC-certified printing, an internationally recognized standard for production and consumption of forest products. TNN Printing can be reached at 434-971-8976 and t-nprinting.com.
WNRN is brought to you by Visualite Cinemas, the Valley's home for critically acclaimed cinema, including foreign and independent film. Now playing at Visualite, it's After Earth and Epic. Showtimes and film descriptions for the Visualite and Dixie and Stanton and Charlottesville's Vinegar Hill Theater can be found at visualitecinemas.com.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call, brought to you by the Markets of Tiger Fuel. You can visit Charlottesville's only locally owned and operated chain of convenience stores today. They operate on Main Street, not Wall Street. Now back to your host, Rick Moore.
And thanks again for listening to WNRN here on a nice Sunday. Our guest, Robin Jackson, she's the director at the Civility School. We're talking about being civil, showing good manners with good etiquette. Robin, there were some couple things you said in our last little bit that made me think of religion. You said everyone deserves respect, whether yes. But not necessarily showing deference to that. Does religion play a part anywhere in this conversation about etiquette, showing etiquette, performing, you know, having good manners? Not necessarily where some of these manners or mannerisms come from in a religious base, but does performing these things and being civil have a religious tune to it?
Yeah, I don't know about religious. I think spiritual side, absolutely. You know, the golden rule, do unto others as you would have them do unto you, is a rule of all religions. And it certainly didn't come about because they all got together and decided that they were going to, you know, have the same rule. It's something that evolved very naturally. Our society in general, can't progress unless people think about each other. We're in it together. So there's no way to continue a healthy, productive civilization without the golden rule. So I don't think it is a particularly religious idea. I think it's spiritual. And it just happens to be an integral part of any religion.
Now, you teach your classes. And again, you can go to the website, thecivilityschool.com, or is it just civilityschool.com?
It's thecivilityschool.com.
And then there's a Facebook page too.
Yes, there
which
is.
I found. And some of the things that you can see, the classes that are being taught, which caught my attention. It seems as though the majority of your classes are for younger kids, catching them at an early age.
Yeah, I think the I teach actually preschool through adult. I teach business etiquette as well. But it seems that parents particularly are most interested, I would say, in the 5 to 8 year old age. I think it's because at that point they see that these children are becoming real human beings and that they sometimes are little barbarians. You know, I have 3 children and I absolutely understand that.
So can the parents not teach well enough at home? They need someone else to do it?
Well, I think like everything else, you know, it's nice to have somebody who is an expert who can help you with it. You know, and we can't all be experts in everything. So I think parents do this at home, and I see it on a regular basis. I see children with a great knowledge already of etiquette, but it's nice for them to be in a group situation where they see other children learning the same thing, so that they don't feel that their parents are only preaching to them and asking them, you know, to do outrageous things. It's something that is expected of other people, too.
What are some of these outrageous things?
Well, there are all kinds of outrageous things, like, you know,
opening the door for someone else.
Well, I mean, right. Is and that that's outrageous? No, interesting. The idea of opening the door for someone else. A lot of times, children do not want to, and adults don't want to think about the idea of a man opening a door for a woman or a man pulling a chair out for a woman. So, in my modern manners classes, I really try to keep things pretty gender neutral. There's an idea of gender neutral chivalry that we are, you know, so if you go to a door, whoever gets to the door first opens it for the next person. But it is an interesting thing. There are rules of etiquette that seem to work better if you do have a certain order. So, for example, when we're teaching people rules of introduction, there's an order of introductions. And generally, women are introduced first. You use a woman's name first. This is simply just a way that there's an order that people follow. And it's nice to be orderly, so therefore that's the rule that we've chosen. Or at a restaurant, women are generally asked their order first. One thing I want to make clear, though, is that with rules of etiquette, I let it be known from the very beginning, both with children and with adults, this is not an effort to be fancy. So if you're drinking tea with your pinky sticking up, you're actually making people really feel uncomfortable. The idea is to make other people feel comfortable, not to be fancy. People with truly good etiquette are inclusive. They're not exclusive. So if you're ever in a situation where someone is making you feel left out, someone is making you feel that you don't have what it takes to be in this particular situation, they're the ones who have poor social skills and poor manners.
Well, you mentioned being gender neutral. Again, yeah. Our guest today, Robin Jackson from the Civility Schools, who talk about etiquette and manners and being civil. How do you pull out the chair for a woman who, certainly there's a growing number, I can't give you a percentage of women, that makes them feel very uncomfortable. They're very independent. I don't need you to pull the chair out for me.
Well, I actually believe in it. There's a difference between a social situation and a business situation. I don't think that in a business lunch, if two professionals are going to lunch, that the male should pull the chair out for the woman. In a social situation, I think that's where learning your environment is important. Keeping your eyes open, kind of getting a sense of what other people in your social environment are expecting. That's what you do. You know, here in Central Virginia, in most social situations, I think the man does pull out the chair for the woman. But you need to be aware of the situation.
All right. Again, the phone number today, 979-0919 or 434-979-0919. And we got a call from Mike. Hi, Mike.
Hey.
A question or a comment?
And Ms. Robin, yes. When I moved to Charlottesville from the north about 30 years ago, I thought it was incredible that more people here acknowledged each other on the street, said good morning, waved. And now that we have the new technology with, and half the people have earbuds in the morning, I think it's very rude that... you know, you can't, you feel like you have to check to see if someone has those before you say good morning or whatnot.
Yeah, I'm with you, Mike. I think that's, you've really hit the heart of the matter. Again, not acknowledging others is the biggest form of respect. So when we put in our earbuds or we stare obsessively at our smartphones, what we're doing is we're saying, you know, I'm closing myself up. I'm not. Making myself accessible to other people. I think you're exactly right. I think it's a shame, and I think it's detrimental.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks for the call, Mike. All right, phone lines open if you'd like to call and tell us what you think is an annoying habit of others that you like Robin's suggestion on, or something that you feel may be an outdated manner or a piece of etiquette, or you just have a question on, I never know which knife to use first because there's more knives at the table. But let's chat about that for a minute. I mentioned both of mine in that same comment about outdated manners and etiquette. Are now certainly table manners in terms of keeping your elbows off the table and not chewing food with your mouth open, I think are still current and important pieces of etiquette.
Are. Yes.
But do we really need to have all those pieces of silverware or, you know, wine glasses, etc.? Is that important to us in current society?
Well, I think it's a ritual, and I think rituals are important. I certainly don't think unnecessary rituals are important. I don't think if you don't need a certain knife at the table setting, then you don't put that knife out just to make a show. But I do feel that rituals are really important. I think it's nice for certain meals to have a ritualistic aspect to them. I think it makes people feel comfortable. I think it adds to a certain sense of history and tradition and kind of a sense of well-being. I think it's nice for both children and adults to look forward to certain times where you do things in a ritualistic manner. I also think, you know, when you look at certain, especially table manners, a lot of it, quite frankly, is for your safety. You know, if you're going to talk with food in your mouth and chew loudly and do some other things, you could choke. There was an awful story that I tell sometimes. There was a man, and maybe people remember this, who ate at a fast food restaurant, and he was eating chili with a spork, you know, a spoon fork. And he ate so quickly that he literally did inhale the spork, and it was found a year later after a year of awful respiratory problems, and it had lodged in his lung. Maybe had he slowed down and not talked with food in his mouth, he wouldn't have ended up with a plastic spork in his lung.
Yeah, but just think about how much more space it would be at a table if we had sporks instead of multiple forks and knives and spoons.
But do we need all that space?
Well, for my elbows. All right, we have another caller. Hi, caller. How are you?
Doing well.
Your question or comment for Robin?
Yes. I actually have two questions.
Sure.
One question is there a civil manner in which to address someone who shows the greatest amount of disrespect, like you said, by not regarding, like when you're passing them at work and they don't say a word, or if you say good morning and they just go, you know, mumble. Is there a civil way to perhaps address that? That's one question. And then the other question is, how does the woman feel about just using things like, you know, you guys, like when you go to a restaurant, you know, what can I get you guys? That's one of my pet peeves. I hate it. So I just have if she could address that, please.
Sure.
I'm going to let you take that, listen to her comments on the radio. I hear a little static in the background. So thank you so much for the call. Great questions.
Yeah, I'll start with the second question, you guys. I certainly don't feel like having good social skills mean that you have to be formal, but I do think we've gotten kind of very loose with the way we address one another, and I don't particularly like you guys. I also think it's a little overly familiar. So unless you're in a situation where you're talking with people who you're actually very familiar with, I wouldn't use it. I think it's we need to be aware that there is a line. There are your good intimate friends, and then there are people who you're waiting on or you're working with, and we need to keep that line there. As far as dealing with other people's rudeness, if someone's not acknowledging you, I think the first thing that you would have to do is, you know, I think you have a couple options. One is to ignore it, But if it continues to bother you, I think that there are actually three ways. One is that you can try to use humor. I'm never very good with that. So I'm personally not, that's not one of the ones. I usually think of something, you know, maybe a year later that would have worked. But humor's one way. The other way is giving the person the benefit of the doubt. So you might say, you know, I don't know whether you realize it, but you're always preoccupied, and I would like to talk with you occasionally or something like that. The last way is to make it seem like it's something kind of, I don't want to say silly, but something that you expect that maybe others don't expect. So saying, you know, I would feel a lot more comfortable if we could maybe say hello to each other in the morning. It's something that I, in other workplaces, have always found to be, you know, make my day more comfortable. So if ignoring it doesn't work for you, I would try either humor, benefit of the doubt, or making it seem like a request that you would like, that you just would like to make. So I hope that helps.
Again, I do not teach at the civility school, and I'm sure that just in the short time that Robin and I have chatted by email and phone and today, is that I've already broken several rules of proper etiquette. But just to chat back with the caller for a minute, I had a situation in my past that has stuck with me for a long time, where being the manager at a restaurant and one of the waitresses and her husband both worked there, and an incident took place where she was unhappy with me. And at the end of the day, I still said goodbye.
As
because
you
that's
should.
One of the things that I always do. I say, good morning, how's everybody doing? And goodbye, everybody have a good night. And the next day, she said, you know what? It was hard to be mad at you because you still treated the situation in this way. And I think my personal rules include not letting someone else's disrespect make me disrespectful.
Absolutely.
And that has stayed with me for a very long time, as that helping make my rule seem important to me.
And it is important. I don't know who said it, but and maybe a lot of, I'm sure a lot of people have said it, but one of the quotes about good etiquette is that it's putting up with other people, or having good manners is putting up with other people's poor manners. And that's absolutely true. We're only responsible for how we behave. We are not responsible for other people, and we are frankly not obligated to point out everyone's issues.
11:33 here on the Wake Up Call. Our guest is Robin Jackson. She's the director at the Civility School here in Charlottesville. We're talking about being civil, showing proper manners and good etiquette. And we've got another call from Jay. Hey, Jay.
Hey, how are you doing? I'm asking about sociopaths.
Okay, Jay.
Parasitic psychos that show absolutely no concern, you know, no consideration or feeling whatsoever. My situation is I'm forced to deal with a sociopath alone. My ex, her family is a hive of them, absolutely despised. And what's the best way to deal with someone who has these kind of severe mental problems?
All right, Jay, I'm going to let Robin answer your question and let somebody else dial us up. All right, thank you.
Yeah, Jay, that's a great question. You don't want to go where they go. So, in other words, you want to stay above the muck and deal only with the issues at hand. Only deal with the black and white issues. And really, it's a very, very hard thing. But I think truly looking at them as somebody, as a group of people who have some issues that really can't be helped. You just only deal with the black and white. You don't point out anything else. You don't go into depth about anything else. You only deal with, you know, what you have to deal with them. It's difficult.
All right, 11:35 here on the Wake Up Call. Our guest, Robin Jackson, dial up with your questions or your comments. 979-0919. That's use the 43-434-979-0919.
WNRN and Blue Mountain Brewery present the Red Wing Roots Music Festival, July 12th through 14th at Natural Chimneys Park in Mount Solon, Virginia. hosted by the Steel Wheels and featuring Del McCurry Band, Sam Bush Band, Tim O'Brien, Preservation Hall Jazz Band, and J.D. McPherson. The full lineup and tickets can be found at redwingroots.com. Support for WNRN comes from Commonwealth Restaurant and Sky Bar, 422 East Main Street on Charlottesville's downtown mall. Serving dinner and drinks in the bar or at the Sky Bar overlooking the mall. Commonwealth is available for private parties and serves brunch on Sundays. For more information, it's CommonwealthSkyBar.com.
Hi, I'm Karen Ratzloff, Director of Advancement for Hospice of the Piedmont. We invite you to join us at Art Hop, celebrating the healing power of art and music on Thursday, June 6th from 5:30 to 7:30 at the Live Arts Building in downtown Charlottesville. This reception, open to the public, is an opportunity to enjoy the beauty of art and music while learning more about the gifts Hospice of the Piedmont brings to our community. Guests can enjoy and purchase paintings and photography created by local artists. There will also be live music, tasty treats, and beverages. Hospice of the Piedmont provides professional, compassionate care to terminally ill patients and their families, plus bereavement support for community members coping with the death of a loved one. We are committed to providing care and support services to all members of our community, regardless of their ability to pay. Visit hopva.org to learn more and RSVP for Art Hop. I'm Karen Ratzloff, making a community connection on WNRN.
Make your community connection with WNRN. Email connection at WNRN.org with your nonprofit event or organization's information. Independent Music Radio, WNRN.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call, brought to you by the Markets of Tiger Fuel. Now back to your host, Rick Moore.
And thank you so much for being with us today here on WNRN Community Independent Radio. Our guest, Robin Jackson, we're talking about the etiquette and manners from the Civility School. Dial up with your question or comment, 979-0919. That's 434-979-0919. Robin, social skills. I want to talk about social skills because people always talk about the handshake. I mean, it goes beyond just saying hi to your friends. It carries on into professional. The handshake to me is just look somebody in the eye and give a firm grip.
That's exactly really
so
what
why
it is.
Is this so hard? Why do you have to teach someone this?
Well, I'm not sure that it is hard. And I'm not really sure there is a whole lot of teaching. I mean, that might, you know, that really is about a 2-minute lesson. And it's simply that obviously you need to give a firm handshake. Times have changed that, you know, women deserve a firm handshake as well.
You don't take their hand and kiss the back of it?
Well, yeah, I guess you could. I guess you could, but I would wait until you were in Europe to do that. But, you know, truly, I think that learning that you can shake a woman's hand firmly. There was a rule of etiquette for a number of years that, you know, you could not shake a woman's hand unless she extended her hand first. I think we've gotten a little bit beyond that.
No reaching and grabbing.
No holding. No continuous hold while you have a conversation with somebody. You grip somebody's hand, you shake a couple times, and you let go. You don't continue to hold with two hands. That makes people uncomfortable.
All right. Again, 11:39 on the Wake Up Call. Call us up. Robin's got all kinds of interesting stories and tips and tidbits. I'm quite enthralled. And apparently Connor has a question. Hey, Connor.
Hello, sir. Hello, ma'am.
Hi, how are you?
I'm very well this morning.
Good.
I have a question in reference to a workplace situation.
Okay.
And if you're carrying into a romantic topic, I just want to keep things platonic professional with a coworker, but I'm having trouble doing that with her continual advances.
Wow. Okay. Well, have you been pretty frank with her?
She has a more shy nature, a more subtle way of showing affection, and I just don't want to have any chance of misleading her or, you know, diffusing a situation that could have potentially just stayed platonic. I don't want this to turn aggressive or anything like that.
Well, I think that's where understanding kind of the message that you're giving her socially is probably important. And I think staying as clear as you are, as you've been doing, is about really all you can do. especially if she's shy and she's not being aggressive. I think you're really doing about all you can do.
Okay, so just keep cool.
That's what I would do.
Thank you very much, ma'am.
Thank you.
Connor, don't wear those tight jeans.
That's fine. That's it.
Thank you. Thanks. Bye.
Have a good day.
All right, 11:40. Phone line's open if you have a question for Robin Jackson or if you have a comment to make about etiquette, manners, 979-0919. Robin, we were talking about social skills. We got to the handshake. Telephone etiquette, because certainly telephones have changed. It used to be that you could only be reached at home. If anybody was going to use the phone, typically you told the family, hey, I'm going to be on the phone for a few minutes. The adults almost always answered the phone. So how has telephone etiquette changed from then to now?
I mean, it's just changed drastically. It's changed even in the four and a half, almost five years that I've run the civility school. It is something that, you know, now that people really don't have home phones as much, everybody's got a cell phone that it's with them at all times. One of the things that I think is most important is to still do what we used to do with a home phone. You would make it clear that you're about to get on the phone. And that's a way of saying, I won't be available for the next, you know, however many minutes I have a phone call to make. It's what we need to do with cell phones. If you're with a group of people and you need to take a phone call and it's the appropriate time to do so, then you need to say, oh, excuse me, I've got to take this call. And you walk away physically, away from the group a little bit. This idea that we're all going to stand in this close, you know, physical proximity and carry on these, you know, different conversations is just... It's not socially comfortable. It makes for awkward situations. You know, one of the motto of the civility school is for the comfort and convenience of others. If you always look at things through that lens, am I making the people around me comfortable? Am I making life for that person convenient at this moment? You'll usually make the right decisions.
What about, okay, so the phone rings and you say, excuse me, I need to take this call. But you don't know who's calling until you look at the phone. Is that inappropriate behavior to look at your phone to see who's texting you or who, even if you don't text back?
Right.
But you need to look at your phone to see who is trying to contact you. Is that inappropriate itself?
I think as long as it's, you know, I mean, if you're in an interview or other, you wouldn't. Hopefully you'd have your phone off. But if you're in a situation where it would be appropriate, that's when you would say, oh, excuse me, I need to see who's calling. You just want to always acknowledge that you're about to do something that takes you out of the current social situation that you're in. You want to make people, when you're with people, you want to make them feel that they are the most important person you have been with all day. You don't want to make them feel like, you know, they're just there until you receive another phone call or another text. Whoever you are with at the moment should feel like they are the most important person you have dealt with all day.
979-0919 if you'd like to call with a story, a question, a comment for Robin Jackson. She's the director at the Civility School here in Charlottesville. Online, it's thecivilityschool.com. I want to talk about parties,
mm-hmm.
being the guest, being the host or hostess. Proper etiquette has changed from then. I don't know whether then is 20 years ago or 50 years ago, but certainly changed to now. Tell me a little bit about that.
Well, I'm not sure that it has changed all that much. I think being a host and being a guest has always been about being respectful. If you're a host, you're respectful of your guest. You're respectful of their time, of their the fact that they've taken time out of their schedule to attend something that you're hosting. If you're a guest, you're respectful of the time and energy that it takes to host something. One of the biggest things, I think, is replying to a host's invitation. So the idea of replying is something that I think has kind of gone by the wayside. If someone mails you an invitation and you are to reply, then you need to reply as in the most timely manner that you can reply. Otherwise, it looks like you're scoping out other opportunities and waiting to see if something better is going to come along.
But maybe I am.
Well, you might be. And the issue there is too bad, because you really need to respond in a timely manner, and then stay true to that response, to that reply. Now, where it's gotten a little bit difficult, at least for me, are these kind of email group invitations.
Right. My friend is playing in a band here, or, you know, and I'm going to throw one out. Please don't be upset, listeners. The Crozet Arts and Crafts Festival, and I'm going to have a booth there.
Yeah.
You know, come on down. Yes, no, maybe.
Yeah. I have been, you know, kind of guilty of not responding to those as timely as I really should. I mean, if someone sends you a request, no matter how it is sent, you have to reply. You need to say. Now, the maybe button, though, I find a little disconcerting. I don't like the maybe button. I think you reply yes or no. I, again, have to admit that I have occasionally used the maybe button, but I don't plan on using it anymore, I promise. I think it's a cop-out.
11:46 on the wake-up call, Community Independent WNRN. Robin Jackson's here with us from the Civility School. You know, you host a party, whether it's, me having a big cookout or your child having a birthday party. And something I've read about is the pre-made thank you note and bag. Thank you for coming. Please take this gift bag with you. And inside the gift bag may be, you know, some little treats that you made, or, you know, a reminder of the great birthday party that you had. And in it is a pre-written thank you note.
Yeah. Ugh. Don't like that. I'm not a fan of the pre-written thank you note. What that's saying is, I realize the thank you note is an obligation, so here it is. Please just mail it back to me. I don't think a thank you note should be seen as an obligation. I think a thank you note is truly a chance to connect with somebody and truly a chance to show your appreciation. It's a time to say thank you for thinking of me. Now, that doesn't And it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what the gift or event was. Even if you had an awful time, the fact is someone took the time to think about you. Or if it's an awful gift, someone took the time to think about you. So I think we need to get away from feeling like a thank you note is a silly little obligation, a little thing that we check off our list, and take some time and actually write some meaningful words to someone.
If I'm the host, do I have to send a thank you note for people who came?
No. And you don't need to, if they bring you a thank you note for a thank you gift for hosting the event, you don't need to write a thank you note for that.
For somebody, you bring a bottle of wine to my cookout, I can get away with, you know, giving you a handshake or a hug and saying, thanks so much, appreciate that.
You don't need to thank you for the thank you. Although I have a friend who does that, and I have to say it's a lovely gesture. You know, it's another one of those things where I feel that this friend of mine is taking time out of her very busy schedule to acknowledge me, and I like it. I think, you know, any social connection that we make is a way of adding to the warmth and general good functioning of our society.
Well, our society is much more electronic. Can I send an email that says thank you? Whether it's a simple that says, hey, it was great to see you at the party, thanks for coming, or whether I make it a little more formal, maybe I go to one of the e-card places and do that. Is that, or do I need to follow the U.S. Postal method of sending a thank you note?
I think when it comes to a thank you, when someone has done something for you, I think you can certainly give a quick little email or text and say thank you. I still feel that a written thank you note means a lot more. I think that's one of those traditions, just in my mind, that shouldn't go away.
11:49 here on the wake-up call. Really, I'm excited to learn a little bit more about manners. My mother would probably be upset that I said I need to learn more from Robin Jackson. She's the director at the Civility School here in Charlottesville. 979-0919. Call up with your question or comment for Robin.
And support on WNRN comes from Price Hyundai on 29 North. From Hyundai, it's the new Veloster, 38 miles per gallon highway, standard BlueLink telematics with hands-free texting. The new Veloster, new thinking for the next generation of drivers. You can find out more at jimpricehyundai.com.
And WNRN asks you to support the local businesses and organizations that you hear supporting independent music radio. Let them know that you recognize their important contribution to keeping independent music radio on the air. And also, we thank you for your support of WNRN. Thanks so much. Call us up if you'd like to. We got about 10 minutes left with Robin Jackson. Robin, just for those folks who are thinking about it, what does a class cost?
A class, a regular class for children, and my two most popular classes are 5 to 8 year olds and 9 to 12 year olds. They're 8 one-hour sessions. The last class is a dinner of difficult foods, and it runs $200.
All right, I want to get into difficult foods because that's on my list. But we have a caller, and press all the right buttons. We have Chris. Hey, Chris.
Hi there. How you doing?
I'm well.
Just had a question regarding the thank yous. I'm a business owner and I sell a high end product, and I've always struggled because I have horrible handwriting. And last holiday season, I decided to send a number of thank you notes. Actually, dropped off a bottle of wine to a number of customers. But I ended up having individualized messages that I ended up typing and cutting and pasting into a thank you note. And I didn't know whether someone like myself who's challenged with using a pen, whether or not it still meant the same if I'm using a pen versus typing.
I think you need to use a pen. It's charming to see somebody's handwriting, whether it's what you might think of as poor handwriting or whether it's good handwriting. It's charming, and it's kind of fun to get a note that you can't just, that takes a little time to decipher. So I would go with the handwriting. I think that, typing, it's okay as long as you sign it, but I think that a handwritten note using a nice pen means a lot more.
Gotcha. Thank you.
Thanks. Thanks for calling, Chris.
All right. Just a few minutes left. Your question for Robin, 979-0919 here at WNRN. This is the Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call. Les Timms-Perdue up next. I just saw Tamara Winograd walk in the door. So I want to go back to difficult foods.
Yeah.
So, what are difficult foods? And since those of us who aren't getting to practice at your table, what are ways to practice, and what are things to watch out for?
Well, oddly enough, some of the most difficult foods are very simple foods. For example, a dinner roll. A dinner roll is served, you put it on your bread plate. But what some of us do with a dinner roll is kind of disturbing. I mean, when you watch someone take a slab of butter from the communal butter plate and then use the communal butter knife to lather their dinner roll up and then stick the whole, pick it up, one big piece, and bite into it. There are kind of more attractive ways to go about that. So, what I call difficult foods are pretty common foods that people generally just don't seem to deal with very well. Spaghetti, any kind of long strands of pasta, those are difficult. Knowing what to do if you get something in your mouth that you don't want in your mouth while you're at the dinner table, things like that. And then, for fun, I will throw I won't literally throw an artichoke at the but I will have. That is not good etiquette. I would have an artichoke and have the children learn how to eat an artichoke correctly. I will have a food that I know most children don't care for and watch how they get out of trying to eat it, kind of thing. Well, Brussels sprouts, which happen to be one of my favorite foods, I've served to children just intentionally to see if they will try it, because trying foods is part of it. Another reason besides safety and making other people feel good that we have rules of etiquette or that we want to separate infantile kind of childish behavior from adult behavior, so that we want to show that we are grown-ups. So learning to try a little bit of everything on your plate does that.
I'm curious. So, spaghetti.
Yes.
How do you eat? What is a good way to eat spaghetti so that is you remove it from the difficult category and sort of tame that difficulty?
Well, it's always difficult. I think spaghetti is just a difficult food. But there are three ways. One is simply cut it, you know, like you might have when you were little. Now, you don't cut the whole plate full. Just like if you're having pancakes, you don't cut the whole pancake and then start eating it. You cut a little bit at a time, and you get it on your fork and you eat it. Then, of course, we have the wrap it around your fork using the plate as a helper. The key there is to use your knife to cut off the ends so that it's not a huge big ball of spaghetti that you're trying to get into your mouth. Or you can use a pasta spoon and twirl the spaghetti around the edge of the pasta spoon and then around the bowl of the pasta spoon and then cut off the edges with the side of the pasta spoon. So those are the three ways that the students at the Civility School learn to eat long strands of pasta.
So I just also listed those in my head as not first date foods.
No. My first car date, also, I ordered fried chicken at a very nice restaurant. That also, not a good idea.
Not a good idea. Again, 979-0919, just a few minutes left with our guest today, Robin Jackson, from the Civility School here in Charlottesville, thecivilityschool.com. Also a Facebook page out there. You know, sportsmanship.
Yes.
Because I think that's something that has changed in a couple different ways from then, however long ago that was, and now, because it seems as though for many children, they are raised to be as competitive as possible and not necessarily think of the others on the field. And then at the end, everybody gets a trophy and a medal anyway.
Yeah. It's kind of interesting. Our idea of competition seems a little bit skewed now. So I think what our children are seeing is just a little disturbing. You know, I think before we talked today, I was discussing the golfing incident with Sergio Garcia and Tiger Woods. That bothered me. It bothered me for a couple different reasons. You know, Tiger Woods' supposed breach of etiquette seemed small to me compared to the other players' real choice to talk about it. I don't think we always need to be obligated, as I've been saying, to acknowledge other people's poor choices for manners. But also what bothered me was the sportscasters' immediate glee at this situation. They said, this is great. Golf can become more confrontational. This is good. This is good for the sport of golf. I actually really disagree with that.
All right, let's take a call from Scott. Hey, Scott.
Hey. Do you want to just spend a minute, if you have time, touching on the difference in your pancake comment made me think, and there certainly are different situations, but even different meals, different formats, and different times of day that you certainly apply different standards. I wouldn't cut up a whole piece of steak or whatever at a formal dinner. I might be inclined to cut up my whole pancake, though.
Yeah. Well, the pancake thing, I think there are two reasons for that. One is if you cut up your whole pancake, it looks like your mom or dad just cut up your pancake for you. So it's not separating, you know, children from adults. And also, doesn't your whole pancake get really cold then? Just seems more practical to cut up one piece at a time. But I think you're right. If you're doing that at home and that makes you happy, then I say go for it. But I think, and that's just a great example of using common sense and keeping your eyes open for your surroundings. My only fear, though, especially with children, is that they get into the habit of doing certain things, and then by habit, they keep doing it.
Robin, thank you so much.
Thanks, Rick. It was really fun.
Yes, and the hour has flown by.
It was not a long, lots of O's,
right,
long
saw that
hour.
On your Facebook page.
Yeah, so thank you. I really appreciate it.
All right, I see the phone's ringing. We're welcome to dial us up. We'll answer the phone and see if there's a question that we can get with Robin off air. Tamara Winograd up next with Les Thames-Perdue. Next week, we'll be talking about the Western 29 bypass with Sean Tubbs of Charlottesville tomorrow. Have a great day.
This has been your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN. The wake-up call is supported by the markets of Tiger Fuel.
homegrown since 1982. You can visit Charlottesville's only locally owned and operated chain of convenience stores today. They operate on Main Street, not Wall Street. Views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the management, staff, or board of WNRN. You can contact Rick at abstractme@aol.com or wakeupcall@wnrn.org. The Wake Up Call is produced by Angie Cruz. Tune in next Sunday morning at 11 for The Wake Up Call, only on WNRN.